Podcast comes from the Academy for Entrepreneurial Leadership at the University of Illinois, a resource for UIUC faculty and students with entrepreneurial ideas and aspirations. More information on the Academy can be found at www.ael.uiuc.edu. Support for today's broadcast comes from the Prairie Ensemble, whose next concert features soprano Ollie Watts Davis in a cantata of spirituals on Saturday, February 18th at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. Also music by Gwyneth Walker and Henry Cowell, plus Duke Ellington's The River. More information at 355-9077 or at prairieensemble.org.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. You've tuned in during our February membership campaign, and it is winding down. The goal of this campaign, sustaining the program service you value, signing up friends, members of the Friends of WILL. I'm Celeste Quinn. Rita Schulte, our membership director, is in Pledge Central this afternoon with the volunteers and the telephones, and they're all standing by waiting to take your telephone call with a pledge of financial support. The number to call, 217-244-9455. That's 244-WILL. And for folks who call in this afternoon, Rita, and pledge at the $75 level or above, we have a special thank you gift.
Yes, we do. And it's an exceptional cookbook. We were all back here drooling over it. If you call in and pledge at the $75 level or above this afternoon, you may request a copy of Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook by Beth Hensberger. And the cookbook is gorgeous. There's color recipes, there's color plates, there's accompaniments to slow cooker foods, there's all kinds of very detailed recipes, and there's just about everything. There's a recipe in there for chocolate peanut butter pudding, oh my goodness, and cioppino, and there's health food, like fish, okay?
Yeah.
It's not all comfort food, but this is a great idea if you are in love with your crock pot or your slow cooker of any variety. The sun never sets on an empty crock pot in your house. This is definitely a great thank you gift for helping to support WILL. The Afternoon Magazine is here to present all sorts of interesting new ideas, introduce you to great, interesting new people. If you've been enjoying this for many, many years and you've not made a pledge, or maybe you're a longtime fan of the show, call us this afternoon and help us reach our goal of $65,000 by the end of today. We don't have, we've got about $53,000 on our tote board right now, Celeste, which is a great start for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can help out by calling 217-244-9455.
And do it now, because coming up in just a second here, we're going to talk with co-author of the Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook, Beth Hensberger. She's on the phone waiting to talk with us. And she won a James Beard Award. She's quite the food writer. Mm-hmm. She won that award for the Bread Bible. Now her latest effort with Julie Kaufman is Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook. And it contains 350 recipes. It begins with breakfast and takes you through dessert and beyond. It also contains a chapter on fruit, butters, jams, and chutneys. We were talking a little bit about that earlier this afternoon with Mike Sola, our waffle king here at WILL. So with a pledge of $75 or more, we would love to send this out to you, Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook. And on those days you want to give the slow cooker a rest and go out to dinner, well, we
member
got
card.
The member card.
That's right. And the WILL member card will entitle you to two-for-one dining at a number of area restaurants. There's also some discounts at bed and breakfasts and some online shopping that can come your way as a friend of WILL at the $75 level or above.
Okay, and that number to call, 217 217-244-9455. 217-244-WILL. Thanks. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Most American households have a slow cooker. The crock pot made its debut in 1971. People loved it, and then it seemed some of us fell out of love with it. Maybe it was the avocado harvest gold thing. But anyway, the slow cooker is back, and they're better than ever. And one of the reasons that they're back is because they've improved the product. And in part, I think we owe thanks to food writers like Beth Hensberger. Hensberger, who won a James Beard Award for The Bread Bible, has taken on the slow cooker in a new book she's written with Julie Kaufman. The title of the book, Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook. It contains 350 recipes. It begins with breakfast and takes you through dessert. There are chapters dealing with poultry, meat, fish, and shellfish. Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook also has recipes that are not from the slow cooker, but would be very good alongside dishes made in the slow cooker. The recipes included in this chapter include lemon rice, couscous with chickpeas and parsley, mashed potato casserole, and savory wild rice pancakes. Listeners, I welcome your phone calls about slow cooking for Beth Hensberger. Your questions and comments are invited. Maybe you'd like to share an idea for the slow cooker, a favorite recipe of yours. Here are the phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Beth is the author of 11 books and the co-author with Julie Kaufman of two. That's a baker's dozen, appropriate as all the books she's penned on her own deal with bread. The new book, though, Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker, is published by the Harvard Common Press. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Beth, welcome back. It's so good to talk with you again.
It's so good to hear your voice too, Celeste. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good.
And
excellent.
So you've got a member drive going
yep.
on as well.
And
so I'm glad to be part of that.
I want to thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Well, I want to talk with you about slow cooker basics, but before that, I want to know, what's the dish on the cover?
I believe that is the pork tenderloin.
Mm.
And, you know, that cover was almost controversial for us because it looked so different than anything that ever came out of the slow cooker.
Right.
Because everything in the slow cooker is kind of stewy, mm-hmm. raised, and here was the pork loin with peanut sauce, and it was so different looking, and everybody went nuts. Because what we were going for was looking for foods that weren't usually made in the slow cooker that translated into slow cooker food that would help people make something, you know, kind of an everyday practical, mm-hmm. bringing foods that normally would be a little exotic or a little bit more time-consuming or complex technique-wise, and that we simplified it, and it just was... it. Blew all our minds.
Yeah,
well, we loved it.
Everybody around here is going crazy. So,
Julie and I just taught a class the other night, and I went crazy again. We made the corned beef with the molasses bourbon glaze. Mm. Oh, it was like having it for the first time. It was so good. And we made Reuben sandwiches with Russian dressing, just chili sauce in the mayonnaise and Gruyere cheese and sauerkraut, and 30 people were licking their lips.
Wow.
It was so fantastic.
That sounds like a great idea for this weekend, maybe, if you're going to have friends over to watch the Olympics.
Yes, yes. There are a couple of dishes that a lot of people have a slow cooker, and it's all they make in them. Chili and corned beef tend to be two of the dishes that people make pretty consistently in the slow cooker. And some people don't make anything else. So, I mean, the way that the corned beef cooks in there, because it's kind of submerged in liquid, and normally if you did it stovetop, it would be about 3 hours, but in the slow cooker, it's like 9 or 10 hours. But it leaches out the salt. Oh, it is just, you know, it was so tender and delicious. It was just so fun.
That sounds great.
You know, I said, Julie said, that's your recipe, Beth. I said, my recipe? This is better than when I made it. So food, you know, gets rediscovered every time you make it.
Yeah.
It's so great.
One of the recipes that I will be trying soon is the red cabbage and apples.
Oh, yes.
There is a restaurant up the road that has a wonderful red cabbage dish. They won't share the recipe. But this looks like it's close.
Okay, what you do is you go and analyze, because usually they'll tell you what's in it. They won't give you the recipe. And then take our recipe, and then if there's something else that they added or whatever, a flavoring or something like that. But probably it's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, it's so simple.
Yes.
red cabbage, two tart firm apples, little red wine vinegar, a little brown sugar, salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 6 hours on low.
Mm-hmm. You know, we used to hear that the slow cooker was referred to as the magic pot, and Julie always goes, well, it's not the magic pot. You have to be able to do a little work up front so it'll taste so good. I do think it's the magic pot. There is something in that long, low heat that is very complementary to transforming food. And you don't have to have tons of ingredients, long ingredient list, to have something turn out delicious and dramatic and soul-satisfying. Frankly, some of the big surprises are the ones with the least amount of ingredients.
What is slow cooking? Tell us a little bit about how it works and why it works and why some things taste so good when cooked this way.
Slow cooking is not new. This is, you know, a new appliance. But slow cooking, cooking in a fireplace, in the dying embers, like the old Boston baked beans, you know, the bread would be baked early in the day, and then at the end of the day, the bean pot would be put in the embers to cook overnight. Cholent, the Jewish bean dish, also was always cooked slowly overnight for like 18 hours. This gives the food a chance to develop on its own. It is just the lowest possible temperature where your food is still cooking, but for just a very, very long time. This breaks down a lot of the natural fibers, both in beans and in meats, the connective tissue and whatnot, and gives you the ability to cook parts of meat and beans in a way that, you know, stovetop is just faster. The cuts that are less expensive, that take a little bit more, the really old-fashioned, this is how they were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
When I was living in France 30 years ago, I was just always surprised because on the back of the stove was always this gigantic old pot where something was cooking all day, all the time. And down in Mexico, just like the bean pot on the back. And you just got used to that. Any place there was home cooking, here it was in the back.
Yeah. It's interesting, we're talking about bean pots. When Rival began developing this appliance, now there are other manufacturers, but when they began developing this appliance, they weren't calling it the crock pot.
It was the beanery.
The beanery.
They were looking for the classic shape of that, you know, ceramic bean pot. They wanted to make an electric bean pot because everybody made baked beans. And you know, it's pretty amazing that somebody said, oh, let's try something else in there. And then, you know, a whole new genre was born. Now, the first crock pots, they were kind of scary. I mean, can you imagine a crock that you couldn't pull out to wash
it? Yeah.
I just completely am in awe of the early cooks that, you know, bought this machine and really made it work for them with that type of limitation. Because I always have to clean up everything a certain way, and, you know, that would be difficult.
Yeah. Well, I had one. It was a hand-me-down. My vintage 70s hand-me-down crock pot is a goner, but in the days when I was using it, to clean it out, you'd have to, like, give it a, what's the move in wrestling where you grab somebody around the neck? You know, I had the crock pot under my arm, you know, and in the sink because you couldn't immerse it, you know. So it was like, it was a job to clean it out.
You know, it sort of doesn't make you want to use it that often.
I did use it, though.
You did?
Yeah, I did, because I would leave for work and I'd put something in there. And presto whammo, when I got home, yum.
What was your favorite dish way back then?
Oh, way back then. I would do something very simple with, like, tomatoes and either a couple of pieces of chicken, mm-hmm. and maybe a little brown sugar and some vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, onion, bell peppers, carrots, mm-hmm. just whatever I had.
So you're a veteran.
Yeah.
You're a veteran slow cooker.
Yeah, but I need a new one now.
Oh, you're going to just go nuts. There are so many to choose from, and the technology is very efficient for how humble the machine is. And inexpensive.
Yeah.
Very inexpensive. I just got two new ones because I just finished a book, Slow Cooker for Two.
Oh.
So I was using the 1.5-quart oval and a 3-quart oval, both sizes, which I adore, from Proctor Silex.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I just adore these machines.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I couldn't believe it. They were under $15. One was $12.95, and one was, you know, $14.95. And I thought, you know, we tend to think, oh, inexpensive, it won't be quality. In slow cookers, this is not true. And it allows you to have two or three machines if you find that this is
something
you like
really
to do,
like,
and you want
yeah.
to make multiple dishes, it's no big deal.
Yeah. And this was nice to learn, given the high price of energy today.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what this costs to run.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It was funny. I had asked a friend to do some testing, and she said, oh, we're doing some work in our house, and we can't use any extra electricity. And I said, frankly, the slow cooker would be a perfect way for you to make your dinner because it's, you know, only like a 60-watt light bulb. It's
yeah.
incredibly economical.
And that's also why I liked it when I was single a long time ago, is that I didn't have to, you know, turn on the oven and, you know, have that thing charging along just for something mm-hmm. really little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I adore the slow cooker for meatloaf. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's one of my favorite uses. I don't even put the crock pot away anymore. And, you know, like if I go to one of the upscale supermarkets because they have meatloaf mix,
uh-huh.
I'll, you know, be doing other things and I'll go, oh, let me check the meatloaf mix. I walk in the door, unwrap the package, fold a piece of foil a couple places over to make like a long strip. Just pop it in the, spray the crock, pop that in there, and just roll that meatloaf right in, put the lid on, plug it in, and I know in 3.5 hours, 4 hours, I've got perfect meatloaf.
Is that slow? I mean, is that low or high?
On high.
On high.
It even browns a little around the sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the sides of the two pieces of foil, and it'll lift right out. In the book, we make like a cross, foil one way and foil the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that you didn't even need to be that fussy. One piece of foil, and it doesn't need to go out, you know, of the sides or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just take a piece, wrap it, stick it down in there, and as long as you have an inch or so on each side to get your fingers to pull it up. It's just no problem.
Okay, now do you need any liquid on this one?
Nope.
How about that?
But you might want the ketchup on top.
Well, that's that's nice.
But I was so surprised because I thought, oh, it's not going to be good because meatloaf has to be a certain way. You know, these are these kind of unconscious concepts we have about the culinary world. Well, in the oven, you caramelize and set the outside of meat. Now, this is really something you want in a standing rib roast. Well, if you don't do that with the meatloaf, it's sort of that environment's a little bit steamy. It stays perfectly shaped and like a moist ball, like a meatball. It is so, and then you cut it and the juice runs out. I don't know about you or our listeners, but my meatloaf was always a little dry in the oven.
Mm.
This, not a problem. And in case you don't take it out right away and it goes another half hour, doesn't bother it at all. Or you just switch it down to low or keep warm.
Yeah.
And it's become, I love meatloaf because I like it left over and cold and whatnot.
Yeah, it makes great sandwiches. So
every week, yeah. I just, you know, roll that meatloaf in there. So we have quite a few meatloaf recipes.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to now when I get my new crock pot, if there are any left on the shelves this afternoon where we are, thanks to this program, but the mashed potato casserole. What do you think? Describe that.
Well, what you do is you have cream cheese and sour cream and some flavoring and the potatoes. Obviously, I can tell Celeste you're a potato freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
the
not
cabbage,
an everyday. This is
potatoes,
not an everyday, yeah.
And the crock pot, besides pieces of meat, one of the other things it does is certain types of casseroles. And this kind of heavy mashed potato conglomeration cooks very nicely, and it ends up like a dense souffle. And that also, surprisingly enough, browns around the edges up at the top. Your elements around the outside, not the bottom. Somebody asked the other night, oh, is my counter going to burn? That the crock pot gets a little hot. There's nothing on the bottom. The elements are around the outside in the housing. And so it goes from the sides. Yeah. And then, of course, the crock is very efficient for transmitting the heat, and that's why the bottom seems hot.
I suppose another question you get is it safe to cook at these low temperatures?
Yes, and they're really not that low. Low is between 190 and 200. Food is safe at 140 degrees. The high is between 290 and 300. And if you think about it, sometimes you cook things in the oven at 250 or 300 degrees. So that would be similar to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. And then, oh, it comes up to internal temperature of 140 between 1 and 2 hours, which is all safe.
Yeah. And
I found that when I made beans, instead of just putting in cold water, because, you know, there's always stovetop, oh, okay, beans, the cold water, I heat it up in the microwave. So the beans and the onion studded with the cloves and things like that, and then I just pour in some hot water, and then it goes on to high. I would cook all my beans on high. It sort of just, you know, those little kick starts.
Yeah, okay. Now, does this mean then also that you don't have to soak them?
I don't soak the beans, no.
Okay.
We did quite a few batches of beans, not quite a few, dozens, because we had done, you know, the first time we did, low, cold water and low. I swear those beans never cooked. It was a drag. And so we started playing around. And because the slow cooker is slower than regular stovetop, it doesn't need to be soaked. It was one of the shocks. And high seems to cook them more efficiently. The big secret with beans, don't put any salt in until the end. Salt will harden the outer layers of the bean, and you will never get anything cooked. It will never soften up.
Okay.
So when I first started doing the slow cooker book, I was, you know, looking around, you know, because even a few years ago, when we did this 4 and 5 years ago, people were the explosion into slow cooking really hadn't quite happened. It was beginning to happen. It really started happening after 9/11 because everybody was staying home to cook. But here was Julia Child, and what did she say? I use a slow cooker to cook beans overnight. It's the best way to cook beans. And it was almost like I had permission to go forward, knowing that Julia Child used it as well.
Yeah. In the book, I want to talk about this a little bit more in detail in a moment. In the book, you have a recipe. You have a chapter. This surprised me on fish and shellfish. And we can talk about this in a moment. I imagine that was a bit of a challenge. But there's a recipe in here for scallops.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Julie bow, you take your hats off to Laura Brody.
Laura Brody, yeah.
In this recipe. And I have a quote here about slow cookers from Laura Brody, about why people, you know, maybe fell out of love with them a little bit, or they weren't cool anymore or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an article. This is from an article from familyfun.com. And she's asked, you know, why did we fall out of love with a slow cooker? And she says, well, first of all, they're ugly. And then some people equate it with old-fashioned kinds of things, but not old-fashioned in a good way, old-fashioned in a sort of dowdy way. And then she says it's become one of her favorite teaching tools. She uses it in her cooking classes, and she says people think they're going to learn the hottest, hippest thing in the world, the new thing to come down the pike, and then I put a slow cooker up on the counter.
I'm really surprised in countertop appliances, even though people feel that kind of first aversion in a culinary sense to the slow cooker, the food's not tasty kind of thing, oven braising is better, things like that, they're still fascinated. You know, they'll still, you know, it's like the little kid looking around the side of the door to see what's going on. And then, you know, because there's so many people writing slow cooker books and we're all sort of pushing the limits of what can be made in here, you know, it's like people get turned on and it's just so much fun to see how the possibilities then just start going through their brain, because everybody needs convenience anymore. There are very few people, like my mom didn't work when I grew up, and my mom was this fabulous cook. I mean, I even look back now and just go, I mean, there was barely anyone I knew that ate the kind of food that I did, because my mom was a gourmet cook, although she did a lot of things like secchi goulash and peasant kind of foods from Europe, but everything was perfect. And people want to be able to make these old-fashioned dishes. And the slow cooker really does translate to being able to make them just the way they were meant to be made.
Mm.
It's really, really, really pretty exciting.
Slow.
And then the slow cooker now is getting a whole new reputation. It's all new.
Yeah. Slow cooking is our topic here on the Afternoon Magazine, and our guest is Beth Hensperger. She's a winner of the James Beard Award. She and Julie Kaufman are the authors of Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook. This is a cookbook for slow cooking folks who want to move beyond their favorites and, well, maybe keep those old favorites, but try some other things as well. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon. I welcome your questions about slow cooking for Beth Hensperger. Your questions and comments are invited. Maybe you'd like to share an idea for the slow cooker that you like, a favorite recipe. Join us with a phone call. In Champaign-Urbana, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Now, I'm going to mention one other telephone number here before we get back to Beth and talking about slow cooking, and that is the number for our Pledge Central. That number is 217 244-9455. 244-WILL. We are in the midst, actually, we are now in the final hours of our winter membership campaign. And if you call in this afternoon and make a financial pledge at $75 or above, you may request as your thank you gift a copy of Beth and Julie's cookbook, Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook. We'd love to send you a copy of this cookbook. Also, at that membership level, you'll get the WILL member card and a subscription to Patterns, our monthly program guide for AM 580, our FM station, and our television station. The number again, 244-9455, to make a pledge of financial support. 244-WILL. Let's go and talk with a listener now in Urbana on line one. Hi, you're on the air with Beth Hensberger.
Hi, we've become addicted to the America's Test Kitchen program on
PBS.
Mm-hmm. My husband said, do you think we should send them a contribution so they'll have fewer really good programs so we can get something else done in the evenings? and they were making bean soup, a black bean soup, but I'm positive she said that you can put salt in at the beginning, and that it's a myth about the it hardening up the beans. And I don't think that they soak them. I didn't take notes. I figured I could remember it, or I could go back and check it on their website. So I'm just wondering what the deal here is.
Well, America's Test Kitchen, they are amazing. I personally just put the salt in at the end. I have had problems with beans not cooking. The other problem with beans not cooking would be is the beans are very old and they don't rehydrate properly. But I just don't take the chance. You know, it's just so non-critical.
I've had a problem with rice not cooking.
It's possible that it was just way too old.
It seemed to me it was when I added tomato juice or something that was tomatoey and had salt in it.
And acidity.
Oh, acidic too. Okay. Well, I'm really, really interested in that because I've bought a slow cooker and I've only used it once. So I'm
well, you can make great black bean soup in a slow cooker.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a bunch.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I've cooked with a crock pot for years, but I'm having troubles having success with the newer ones. I'm assuming it's because they're hotter. I'm wondering how the temperature compares to what the old crock pots were and how full your crock needs to be in order to leave it. The thing I liked about the old ones, you could cook it all day, and now I feel like I have to come home at lunch to turn it on or something.
What brand did you buy?
I think the new one's a Hamilton Beach. It's one of the big ones, like seven quart.
The nice big ones. We are finding this as well. They do seem to be running hotter. Yes. You're not making this up.
So how do I adjust recipes? Can I cook on the warm cycle or on the...
No, you can't cook on the cook warm, the keep warm cycle. You would have to do low. The other thing is even to try another brand. I notice that the heating is changing from manufacturer to manufacturer.
Okay.
Very definitely. And also... A variable is the larger ones with lesser amount of food in it also cook faster. Say you're just doing 8 chicken breasts with a cup of liquid in there rather than a chili or a stew that would come up half to three-quarters of the way. That goes faster. So the less food, less liquid, the faster it cooks.
Is there a brand that you and a size that you recommend for being able to cook in all day? Or can you do that?
obviously I do it. I would either say Rival or Proctor Silex, but I think Proctor Silex is part of Hamilton Beach.
I'm not sure. Anyway, the Proctor Silex one I have does okay. But I do notice that the smaller ones cook better the whole day. They seem to be a bit lower. There's less surface.
Okay.
Because those big ones, if you think about it, you got a lot of surface area there all around the sides. You know, it's a lot more than a small one. The safe level, you can fill that thing up to the top. There's no problem. They always say, oh, 3/4. Well, you have to remember if you're cooking a soup or whatnot, it is going to expand. But when I make stock, I just push everything in there and just cover it with the water, and a lot of times it's up there 7/8 full. And now that's going to cook longer than whatever it is that you're cooking that went so fast. I feel really bad that you have to come home at lunch to check your slow cooker.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, keep at it.
Yeah, that makes me want to ask you about the new so-called smart pots.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be, you know, what do you think of that feature?
If that's what you need, the being able to program it, probably for her that might really work. She wouldn't have to come home and turn it off. They're a little bit more expensive. The workings of the machine are exactly the same. All that you have is a computer, and you can program it.
Computerized crockpot.
Yes. Who could have known?
Hmm.
Next to the ones that are shaped like basketballs and footballs.
Yeah, you can even get a crockpot now with your favorite NASCAR driver on it.
I guess, oh, that one's new. You got me on that one. So
yeah. Well, there are these, they're limited time only things, and I don't even know. Crockpot is the rival brand, I don't know who the manufacturer is. It slips my mind.
People are having fun designing.
Yeah.
There was one that really was interesting. It is looks like a Japanese iron pot, and it sits in a like a trivet. It's very interesting looking, very beautiful. You know, in a very earthy kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So people are playing with the designs.
Well, with the NASCAR drivers, and there's also one that features Tabasco products, hot sauce
on the outside.
And I think they're going after the guys.
Yeah, they're going after the guys.
Well, chili, ribs.
Chili and ribs for guys. Is there anything beyond chili and ribs?
I think so. We're going to get some calls now. Let's talk with another listener, and this one is a listener who is actually calling from one of those telephones in Pledge Central, line one. Hi.
Hi. I've got a question. I'm wondering if I've poisoned my family for all these years in cleaning my crock pot to get the stains out so I don't have to scour it and damage the glaze. I've always just put hot water in the hot crock pot and a little tiny bit of soap or lemon juice to loosen the food ring.
Yeah.
And maybe just let it set for about an hour on low, and then I can go back and kind of wipe it out. And I'm wondering, have I hurt somebody?
Absolutely not. Hot lemon juice?
Yeah.
No, not a problem.
Yeah, because it's frankly, really...
Frankly, I just was just reading one of the best ways to clean your microwave.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is put like a measuring cup with lemon juice in
right.
it and let it boil, and it'll take all the odors out of
right.
the microwave. No, you would, frankly, that's the safest. And thank you for even mentioning that, because that's something that's new to me.
Yeah, it's
and
a
I
great
would,
way to
I
get,
would
those,
do that.
Get those pots that you can't, if you're still using a vintage crock pot where the crock doesn't come out. That's how I've always cleaned those, to keep them from getting it. And just makes it so much simpler, because like Celeste said, if you've got to get your thing in a full Nelson, you really can't do a good job.
A Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, nope, you're as safe as can be.
Good.
You could probably drink that.
Well, not if it had a little dish detergent in there, probably. You wouldn't want to do that.
With the lemon juice.
With the lemon juice, yeah.
Yeah, but the dish detergent, absolutely no problem.
Okay, this is the Afternoon Magazine. We've got a few minutes left here in this portion of the program with food writer, cookbook author Beth Hensberger. We're talking this afternoon about slow cooking. Beth and Julie Kaufman are the authors of the new book, Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook, which is published by the Harvard Common Press, and which we are offering as a special thank you gift this afternoon to folks who call in and pledge at the $75 level or above and become members of the Friends of WILL. The number to call to become a member of the friends. 244-9455. 244-WILL, the area code 217. If you'd like to join us here on the program and talk with Beth, two additional numbers to give you, different numbers. These won't get you into Pledge Central. These will get you right in here to the Afternoon Magazine. 333-9455 and 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, we've mentioned ribs and soups and stews and meatloaf and red cabbage and apples and pork tenderloin. Now I want to talk with you about this chapter on fish and shellfish. Mm-hmm. This is something I wouldn't think would be candidate for the crock pot, but it is. And in fact, there's a wonderful recipe in here that we did mention briefly. That you give a nod to Laura Brody for, and that's scallops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Delicate fish like filet of sole wouldn't work well, but your firm fishes like salmon, because we have salmon, it just like it would be oven steamed, and the scallops are firm. This is on high for a short period of time. An hour or so.
And you add the scallops later in the process.
Yes, same thing for bouillabaisse and for your shrimp. Everything goes in at the end. And it works beautifully. It's almost like putting it in a Chinese steamer basket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're poaching, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. It really almost, it's almost cooking in the steam. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like steam cookery. And it's its own steam, so the flavors stay intact. Fish cookery is definitely the most delicate in the slow cooker cooking genre. It's something that needs to be handled with care, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But yes, the flavors are very exciting, and it lets you see, you know, you could move in. It used to be, say you got a little studio apartment, and they didn't have a very good kitchen. You could have all countertop appliances. You don't even have to have a stove.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the crock pot, I can see why they're now so popular, like in dorm rooms, things like that, because there's a lot of kids that cook and, you know, don't want to eat in the cafeteria. And up there, they're in their room, they're making stuffed baked potatoes and scallops and all kinds of things, and people are going, oh, my goodness.
Well, it's healthier than peanut butter and fluff.
That's true.
You know? And maybe it can help you avoid putting on the freshman five,
yeah.
As they say. Tell us, what are your favorite, you know, you've done the book now on the bread machine and the rice cooker and now slow cookers, mm-hmm. This one, not your mother's slow cooker cookbook, and now, and also slow cooking for two. What are your favorite appliances in the kitchen?
Well, food processor.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be without a Cuisinart, although I went over to KitchenAid. One of the nice things about winning the James Beard Award is that KitchenAid is the sponsor, and then you get gifts. And, oh, my goodness gracious, I went crazy. They gave me a knife set and this food processor, and it also had a small mini food processor that fit on top.
Uh-huh.
I mean, fabulous, absolutely fabulous. My stand-up KitchenAid, mixer, I would never live without. The other thing that goes along with the slow cooker is the immersion blender, that
yes.
handheld immersion blender.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when we were teaching the other night, so many people are not aware that there is a handheld blender, that you don't have to
take thing
your
is great.
Soups and ladle them into the food processor or blender. You just, it's a stick, and that's what they use in restaurants in big size. And I always have an immersion blender.
Yeah, that's great.
So
I know that you're a big bread lover. You've done so many books about bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you about a little thing that I purchased recently that I just love. It's a little round thing of terracotta. You put it in the oven and you heat it up for a few minutes. You put it at the bottom of your bread basket.
Oh, how cute.
And it keeps the bread warm for through dinner, honest. So keep an eye out for that. It's like, I don't know, it's like $8.
What's it called? Bread warmer?
Yeah. Very original, huh? So, yeah, look for that in your favorite, kitchen store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up here. Beth, thank you so much for visiting with us this afternoon.
And thank you all for your interest in slow cooking. Anybody who hasn't tried it, I say head on down to wherever you shop and pick up like a 3-quart or 3.5-quart, which is a medium size, and give it a try.
Okay. And Slow Cooking for Two, is that the title of the other?
Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker, and that'll be for two people. And, oh, God, it's excellent. I'm editing it right now.
Oh, okay.
It'll be out at Christmas.
Okay.
And then Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker has a second volume on entertaining.
Okay.
That will be out in a year and a half, and that will be for 8 to 20 people, all the recipes.
Wow. Well, let's talk again.
Good.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Happy cooking.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Beth Hensberger has been our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. She's a winner of the James Beard Award. She's the author of 11 books and the co-author with Julie Kaufman of 2. More are on the way. We've been talking with her this afternoon about the latest one that's now in bookstores and at the library, Not Your Mother's Slow Cooker Cookbook. It's available from the Harvard Common Press, and it's also available from us here at WILL if you call in and make a pledge of financial support at $75 or above. The number to call with that pledge, 244-9455, 244-WILL. And if my mother-in-law is listening, I'm going to get her a gift membership for Valentine's Day, and it will be my pleasure to have this book go out to her because she is in love with her slow cooker. And Mom, I hope you had a good time listening this afternoon. Thanks for listening to Mom and to everybody else who called in this afternoon to visit with Beth Hensberger, and to those of you who called in to make that pledge at 244-9455. Well, it's 6 minutes before 2 o'clock. Settlement prices are in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks much, Celeste. From the Chicago Board of Trade this afternoon, futures finish the day like this. In the wheat pit at the Chicago Board of Trade, for the soft red winter wheat, they were down 8 cents today, had a high of 361.5, a low of 351.5, and their settlement price at 355.25, off 8 today. May futures were down 7.5 cents, 367.25, the final price at the end of this trade on Friday, 372.5, the high. The low at 363. July contract, your harvest month, down 8 cents today, 381.5 the high. The low at 72, a settlement price at $3.76 a bushel. That July contract, once again, down 8 cents. And the September wheat, down 7.75 with a high of 390.5, a low at 82, settlement price at 86.5. December futures, 401.5 the high. The low at 394. Settled 7.75 lower at 396.75. From the Kansas City Board of Trade, nearby March contract traded to 431.5 today on the high. Their low at 424.75. Settlement price at $4.30. They were down 3.75. July off 5.5. 426 the high. The low at 19. Settlement price there at 23.75. From the corn pit, March contract $2.24.5 the high. Low at 220 even. Settlement price at $2.21.25. They were down 4.25. May futures at 234.75 on the high. The low at 230.5. Settled at 231.75, off 4.5 today. July contract at 243.25 high. Low at 239. Settlement price there, $2.40.5, down 4.25. And September futures down 3.25 today, 249.5 the high, the low at 46.25. Settlement price at $2.47.5. And the December contract, 259.25 the high, low at 255.5, settlement price at 257.25, down 3.5 cents per year. New crop December corn, the March contract for next year, 2007, 264.5 the high, the low at 261.5, Settlement price at $2.63. They were off 3 cents today. Oat pit now, March contract, 193.75 the high. Low at 187.75. Settlement price at $1.91.5. They were off a penny and a half, and the May futures were down one. 191 the high, the low at $1.86. Settlement price at $1.91. Soy complex nearby beans, 585.5 the high, the low at 577. The March contract settled 4.75 lower today at 587.5. May futures 598.5 the high, low at 590.5. Settlement price at 601.75. They were off 4.75 today. And July soybeans, 608 the high, the low at $6.5. Settlement price at 610.25, down 2.25. August soybeans, 610 the high, low at 605.5, settled at 614. They were down 6.5 cents in the Septembers, 614 the high, the low at 606. Settlement price at 616.5, off 5.5 cents in the November contract, down 5.5 cents. This is your harvest month at 625 today. The high at 6, well, we don't have the numbers that are right in here because I've got a 621 high, and that can't be correct. In fact, all those highs apparently are wrong because the settlement prices, Dave, if you can print those back up for me, we'll go through them during the closing market report this afternoon. We'll skip the soy complex because the numbers simply are wrong. Bean meal March contract at 181.5, 40 high, low at 179.10. Settlement price at 180.50. They were down at 110. May bean meal at 183.60 high, low at 181.50. Settled at 182.80. They were down 90. March bean oil, 22.48 the high, the low at 22.11. Settlement price there at 22.27, down 38. And the May bean oil, 22.88 the high, the low at 22.52. Settled at 22.68. They were off 40. We'll fix those numbers from the soy complex and the bean pit in particular. We'll give a complete listing of those to you with the highs, the lows, and the settlement prices at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock during the closing market report this afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. In just a moment, the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Livestock prices were higher today. We begin with March feeder cattle, 110 even the high, 109.10 the low, 109.65 the settlement, that up 80. April, 110.95 the high, 110.10 the low, 110.65 the settlement, that up 82.5. May, 111.25 the high, 110.50 the low, 110.77.5 the settlement, that up 35. February live cattle, 93.20 the high, 92.70 the low, 92.90 the settlement, that up 65. April, 90.97.5 the high, 90.55 the low, 90.60 the settlement, that up 45. February lean hogs, 58.65 the high, 57.90 the low, 58.55 the settlement, that up 92.5. April, 63.15 the high, 62.60 the low, 62.80 the settlement, that up 57.5. May, 67.97.5 the high, 67.40 the low, 67.92.5 the